Welcome, good morning. Thank you guys so much for coming today to this day-long retreat. I'm Peter Dubinin. Really looking forward to this day, sharing some of the Buddha's teachings on the heart. Hopefully, some of these teachings will really support you in your understanding about the heart and what it means to connect to the heart and how to do that. I think most of what we'll talk about today will be things that you'll really be able to bring into your practice and into your life. So one of the things about a day like this, and particularly given the theme and what we're going to do today, is the form that we follow. So we want to try to create a space where we can make a connection to the heart. So for today, but also it helps us understand what we need to do going forward in our lives in order to be able to be more connected to the heart. So first thing first, my most passionate thing in terms of form, people here who know me, we're going to do our very, very, very best to refrain from using any electronic devices in this space, okay? So in this room from now until 5 o'clock, let's not use any electronic devices, even for taking notes or anything like that. They distract us, right? They distract us. They take us away from the heart, which is inside of ourselves. So we try to create an environment that has less external sense experience that's going to distract us from what's inside. Part of what we can do in order to lessen the distraction is during the sittings and the talks to stay in our seat. It's usually a good idea to maintain an upright posture. You don't have to sit in a formal meditative posture, but not to lie down unless there's some kind of physical need. Now, the most important thing in terms of the form is the silence. So what I'd like to do from now until 5 o'clock is keep this space in silence. So probably for the best if you can keep the external spaces beyond this room in silence as well. This includes during lunch. I'll talk more about lunch when we get to that point. So again, we don't make these suggestions in the service of trying to be authoritative or even trying to create a form, a discipline, really. It's what we need to do to support ourselves in terms of being more present and more in the heart, which really are two things that are very analogous. So we connect to the heart in the silence. Right? People here, has anybody here done longer retreats like at IMS or Spirit Rock? I mean, you know, you go on a retreat like that at the beginning, maybe your heart's a little closed off, and by after 8, 9, 10 days, heart is really open, right? And you love everybody who's there and it feels really joyful, you know? In the silence, we're able to come inside. We're not getting so caught up in the distraction. So sometimes on a long retreat like that, just the silence is what enables you to be able to connect in. I like to think of it, one way to think about connecting is it's like hearing, okay? It's a good way to think, it's hearing or listening. It's a good way to think about the process in the Dharma of insight and understanding. It's one way to think about it is in terms of hearing. So, you know, be able to connect to the heart, it's subtle, right? It's subtle. It's a subtle art, you could say. And in order to be able to appreciate the subtleties and to be able to connect into the subtle qualities that are there, there needs to be real silence and real stillness. So it would be like, you know, if there were subtle sounds in the room and there was a lot of commotion in the room and people were stomping around and talking, you wouldn't hear subtle sounds. But if the room is silent, you hear things that you wouldn't have heard before. So even just now, if I stop talking, you'll notice just subtle vibrations and sounds. You know, just what you wouldn't have noticed before. So, you know, if we can kind of create an external silence, that's really useful because, you know, in our daily lives, we get distracted. If we get distracted by the phones or the electronic devices or by talking or by the activities of our lives, when there's external disturbance, external distraction, it takes us away from the heart. And, you know, obviously we want to be able to be connected to the heart in our lives, particularly in terms of training the heart and training our connection to the heart, to have an environment that's more still and has less distractions. We're going to be more able to do that. I mean, ultimately, it's about having an internal silence, right? An internal silence, where inside of ourselves there isn't that agitation of the thinking mind and the qualities of mind that may be in the body that may be dissonant. And that internal silence ultimately is how we connect. So let's really do a good job of maintaining the silence today. Before we do the first exercise, which will be a meditation, I wanted to just go through some really basic definitions, if you will. Some of you may be familiar with some of this stuff, but just definitions of the basic qualities of the heart. Okay, the Buddha said the heart has certain basic qualities, and you know the baseline quality, the fundamental quality of the heart is loving kindness or metta. You know, metta is the Pali word, sometimes translated as loving kindness. My teacher likes to translate it as goodwill. But this is, you could say, the baseline quality of the heart. And it's really expressed in the wish that we have to be happy. So when we have metta for ourselves, when we're acting with regard to ourselves from a place of metta, we are acting in support of our wish to be happy. When we are relating to others with metta, we are supporting others in their efforts to fulfill their wish to be happy. Okay, so, you know, I used to talk and do metta courses, and I would talk about this, and, you know, invariably people said, well, what do you mean by happiness? You know? So one of the things I realized when I teach metta is that, you know, it's really important to that we have a clearer or somewhat clearer, or at least an evolving definition of what we mean by happiness. Sometimes the best way to understand that is what we don't mean by happiness. What we don't mean by happiness is that what we sometimes call the happiness of the world, right? The Buddha said, in the world, we look for happiness in sense pleasures. You know, if it's the entertainment or the television or the food, we look for happiness in gain. So acquiring material possessions and amassing wealth or whatever. We look for happiness in status and praise. So, you know, these are the happinesses of the world. One of the Thai teachers like to say, simplifies it by saying, we look for happiness in getting and being, you know, getting stuff and being somebody. So that's the happiness of the world, the happiness that we're inclining ourselves to in cultivating metta. The wish that we have for happiness that is the expression of metta is the Buddha's happiness. Okay, so it's a different happiness. You know, the Buddha's happiness is the happiness of the heart. It's the happiness inside. It's the happiness of love and compassion, of stillness, of peace, of joy. So, you know, those, you know, an understanding of what the Buddha's happiness is really only comes through cultivating that happiness and cultivating metta and making an effort to fulfill our wish to be happy. But a good way to understand it is it's something quite different than the happiness of the world. And, you know, we'll be exploring a little bit about what that happiness is today so that we can begin to start to understand it and identify it and be able to connect to it. It's hard to connect to something if you don't quite know what it is. So the other, well, one of the other qualities of the heart is compassion. So compassion you could think of as a subset of loving kindness. Compassion is expressed in the wish that we have to be free from suffering. And specifically, when we're talking about suffering here, we're talking about mental suffering, the suffering that the Buddha talks about in the Four Noble Truths, the suffering of mental affliction, and essentially, mental suffering is rooted in, it takes some form of aversion or desire, generally. So when we're holding on to aversion or desire. And, you know, the word suffering is a little tricky. When we talk about suffering, we're talking about it could be blatant suffering, you know, when you're really going through something different and the mind is really in a real tight squeeze, or it could be just the subtle sufferings that we go through. You know, like even right now, there may be a little suffering around the way the chair feels, or this morning there might have been a little dissonance around what you had or didn't have in the refrigerator, that kind of thing. And the mind is, you know, caught in a little bit of aversion or desire. So compassion is the wish that we have. So this wish that we have to be happy is said to be inherent inside of ourselves. It's said that we all have this wish to be happy. So it's not really, the practice of connecting to the heart is not really a practice of creating this wish to be happy or creating loving kindness. The idea is that it's there. And our practice is to connect. Compassion is there. You have compassion. You have to learn to connect to it and develop it. So these are qualities that you have to develop. So when the heart recognizes suffering, it responds with compassion. Its general baseline quality is loving kindness. When it recognizes suffering, it responds very specifically, right? If you notice the way, and you know, this is something that you know you have to learn. It's really important to learn these different nuances of the heart. Because, you know, if you think about it, when they're suffering, when you're suffering, the heart responds a little bit differently. You know, it's a little more focused. It's a little more of a quality of tenderness or care, perhaps. But again, you have to kind of find that for yourself. So these qualities of the heart, loving kindness and compassion, are qualities that we have inside of ourselves. They have to be developed. You know, this is something that my teacher emphasizes again and again and again. You know, there's sort of this, my bias is like, this is the workshop bias that I have. You know, people go to workshops and on compassion, you know, and they're told, have compassion, but they're never really told how to do that. You know, they're never really told how to develop the compassion, or let's put it this way, the idea is, or what the conception, i.e. misconception that people have, is that you can just have compassion, or you can just express loving kindness. It has to be developed. It has to be developed. It's not something that you're just going to be able to connect to. You know, your ability to connect to it, which is a skill, has to be developed and can be developed. The strength of your connection has to be developed. So when I say you have it inside of yourself, you do, but you could say it's latent, right? I mean, you know, you could. Everybody has loving kindness and compassion inside of themselves, right? But look at the world, right? You know, I mean, if you look at the world, just turn on the TV, you know, that's not what you're seeing, you know. Everybody, the teachings of the Buddha would say, has that inside of ourselves, but it has to be developed. You know, that's sort of the hard work of the practice. And that's kind of a lot of what we're going to work with today. So those are the, primarily we'll work with loving kindness today. We may talk a little bit, we will talk about compassion. We'll work with compassion actually in this first sitting a little bit. And then the third quality that we'll see if we have a little bit of time for at the end, which is also extremely important, is joy, or what I would call appreciation or appreciative joy, which is again is a subset. And subset appreciative joy is the way the heart relates to goodness. So when the heart recognizes goodness, it has this quality, it's expressed in this quality of appreciation. So beginning with our own goodness, you know, that's really in many ways the most important thing. Your goodness as it's expressed in your generosity, the way that you practice non-harming, three things the Buddha said. Your generosity, the way that you practice non-harming, follow precepts, ethical conduct. And then third thing, which is the most important, is the effort that you make to train the mind. The effort that you make to cultivate the heart is actually considered the most profound expression of your goodness. So, for instance, in coming here today, that's an expression of your goodness. You know, you got here today because of your goodness and because you're cultivating your goodness. And it's really important to recognize that, you know, and again, that's part of the cultivation of the heart. I was thinking as I was making these notes, it's like, that should be like the next workshop I do here, because that's another whole workshop in itself, is cultivating joy and understanding how to cultivate joy. Because again, that's a skill too. But, you know, one of the things that you can do even just today is, and we'll talk about this a little bit, is acknowledge, and not just today, but every time you practice and come to a workshop and every time you study the Dharma, you know, recognizing that, you know, you're cultivating your goodness. This is an expression of your goodness. You know, so we can just kind of sit with that for a moment, you know, that just being here is an expression of our goodness. You know, when I first started teaching this, people had a really hard time with it because, you know, a lot of people have this bias is that I shouldn't be acknowledging myself and that somehow that's counter to what the teachings of the Dharma is or other spiritual teachings that people might have had. The Buddha was very, very, very adamant about this. You know, when you are reflecting on your goodness and reflecting on your good qualities, you're in tune with the Dharma, he said. Because your goodness is the Dharma. It's the Dharma inside of you. So when we recognize our goodness, we take joy. We take joy. When the heart recognizes goodness, it responds with this feeling of joy. It's also the goodness in the world, the goodness of the people that support us and care for us, the goodness of the Dharma, the goodness of life itself. So what we're going to do... So, you know, again, in the terms of definitions, and largely in this sitting, we'll work with loving kindness and compassion, but maybe in a little bit of a different way than you might have worked with it in the past. So what we're going to do is we're going to meditate for a little while. It'd probably be a good idea to just get some background. How many people are experienced in meditation here, have meditated? Okay. Anybody who hasn't done much meditation? You haven't done much? None.
No.
Anybody who's done none? Everybody's done some, right? So I'm going to teach some meditation skills today because they're really part and parcel of this process, which are going to be breath meditation skills. So what I would say is, particularly in this setting, you know, try to be mindful of the breath. I'll give some instruction for that. That's not going to be really the heart of the instruction that I'm going to be giving in this sitting. But if you have some other skills that you've developed in terms of meditation, don't hesitate to use them if it helps you stay present, okay? Because this day is, you know, I mean, learning meditation is, you know, that's a lifetime process. So wherever you are in that process is good. We're all still learning. And we're not going to do, this will probably be, shouldn't say this, the longest meditation that we do, but we're not going to do a lot of really super long meditations. Mostly they're going to be shorter, and mostly they're going to be guided, particularly in the afternoon. But in this meditation, the part that I really want you to focus on is the part that I'm going to be doing at the beginning of the meditation, okay? And then after that, just work with being mindful of the breath and keeping the focus on the breath. And I'll allude to that in the sitting.